This is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
Let's enter into a time of worship, and God's been good to us this week, and especially last Sunday, as we were able to give out the Word of God. Let's sing the doxology. It's in the front of the hymnal, Roman numeral 16. Having the Lord's Prayer together, shall we? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now let's sing Love Divine, the second tune of number 400.
Oh,
This morning as we study the Word of God, and it is the Word of God, and the words are wonderful. So let us sing hymn 722, that is, wonderful words, wonderful words of life, 722. Read a few wonderful words, and then we'll have prayer. Would you stand with me as we consider this passage on spiritual and physical exercise? But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. This is the word of God. Let's pray. We adore thee, Heavenly Father, that we have the privilege to enter into your presence at the mercy seat, and you hear us because Christ has made this possible. We know in ourselves we don't have that privilege. But as those who know Jesus Christ savingly, we've been adopted into your wonderful family, and we can say, Abba, Father. So we come this morning saying, Abba, Father. We pray that you will especially receive our thanks. Thank you, Lord, for the matter of last Lord's Day in helping in so many ways. Thank you for the privilege of giving out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you're going to do with those precious words that are all around. Our Father, we ask that you might receive our thanks as a small church, that you've given us that privilege. Help us to do further and better, even as we day by day meet those who cross our paths and need also to hear about the Lord Jesus and the need to be saved. Thank you, Lord, also for giving us the enabling, the sustaining of us during the past week of taking care of us and protecting us and feeding us, and then arranging also that we'd be recipients of the necessary rain. Thank you for answering prayer, Father. Thank you for the loveliness of this day. Thank you that thy Spirit is here. We have asked for your presence, and we ask for control and help us, because as children, we wander in our minds and think about other things when we need to be thinking about your precious word. Help us, each one of us. Once again, our Father, we're concerned. Even today, we tremble at the thought of things that are happening and are destroying many of the precious things that we appreciate. We pray, our Father, that you would work in hearts. We pray for Obama. We ask for him that you would save him and his beloved wife and family. We pray, our Father, for those in that Congress. And we ask that you be working in their lives. We know that individually, one person down there makes a big difference. And our Father, we pray that you would be saving lost souls. Help us as citizens of this life to appreciate what we have. Thank you for giving us the privileges that we have. We ask that they may be maintained. Give us a desire to be diligent about praying for this country of ours and the leadership. We pray for this church. We need your help. We need direction and guidance. Once again, look upon us this morning. May your will be accomplished, for we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Now you mathematical people, the rest of you can sleep a little bit on this. We received here 1 3/10 inches of rain on Friday night and Saturday morning, whatever. Now, because my farming background, I always have an interest in things like this, but I'll share it with you anyway. 1 inch of rain on an acre, 43,560 square feet, that's an acre. Do you know how many gallons that is? 27,156 gallons of water. Well, that's pretty nice to know, 27,156 or 57 gallons of water on 1 inch of rain. Yeah, well, so what? We're going to sing showers of blessing in a moment. That's what, so what? But we had 1 3/10. Now, that comes up to you mathematic people. Listen to this. I checked it on the calculator. That comes up to 36,205.7 gallons per acre, 1 3/10. So on our little place here, we received 319,696 gallons, or 56 trailer loads, tanker loads of water. You can't believe that. You can't comprehend that. Isn't it wonderful? Showers of blessings. Spiritually, we're asking now. We ask for literal rain in prayer meeting. Now let's sing 716. Will you with me, please?
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of God. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again, over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain, showers of blessing we need, mercy drops round us are falling. showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, and now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we
Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We are in a book, and it is written to a young preacher by the name of Timothy from the Apostle Paul by the Spirit of God. And he's being instructed as to how they ought to conduct the church at Ephesus. That's where we get the book of Ephesians. And so we've been dealing this, looking at this subject. And this morning we're saying that the church, at the local church at Ephesus, and we who are here, those of us, that we need to take light and to take to heart the things that are mentioned here concerning ourselves also as a church and individually. We have looked at the matter of heretical teachers and preachers coming to the church, and they're talking about the matter of marriage, and he said that you ought to abstain. That was in back in those days, they had that problem. We still have it around town. If they don't abstain from getting married, they shack out with one another. And the matter of food, and I find that the matter of food is such a important matter. I want to say this at the beginning. If you took away from the TV all the food programs and diets and all the exercises that they recommend you take, there wouldn't be much left to see. So are we up to date? I think so. But this is telling us to have priority. And that isn't easy to do. It is saying to us that we need to have spiritual priority, or that we need to be trained in godliness. The physical aspect has its place. And so there's where we are this morning, and fourth chapter of Timothy, 1 Timothy, and verse 7 and verse 8, that Timothy says, now, this is what two commands. You want to talk about commandments, keeping the commandments of God, the New Testament? The first commandment, it says, refuse profane and old wives' fables. And the second one of verse 7 is, exercise thyself, or rather, unto godliness. There they are, two of things. Now, I'm not going to get into the matter of old wives' fables. I really don't know. I do know, but I don't want to take a time. I know that when I was a young man, I had a problem with acne, and most young people have. And it was in my day, it says, you know, if you quit eating chocolate, you won't have acne. And but I was a farm boy, and I didn't have a lot of chocolate, but I still had acne. So something's wrong there. That's an old wives' fable telling you, you are not eat chocolate, then you won't get acne. Well, that chocolate may have something to do with it. I don't disagree with it, but. And then another one is, even as a boy, as a man, I could, and when there's pregnancy in our family or something, I'd hear people say, it's going to be a boy. It's going to be a boy. Because she's carrying it very low. That's going to be a boy. It's a 50-50 chance, my friends. Could be a girl, too. But that's old wives' fables. I don't want to get into that kind of stuff. But you say it's the Word of God. Enough said, because some people just make it a way of their life that these old wives' fables, and it's not, Paul's not putting down elderly women. Come on, girls, it's not true. He's not doing that. He's just saying that there's a tendency to listen to a lot of those old wives' fables. Gotta be this way, because it's, yeah, well, let's hang in with the Word of God. But he does say in this seventh verse, refuse profane, that is ungodly, irreligious myths. For the word fables means myths. I don't know. How do you do with horoscope? How do you do? I'm surprised how prominent it has become, even in Wall Street Journal. That's supposed to be a financial paper, but they put the horoscope in there. And many important magazines have it, or papers have it. Well, so what? Well, years ago, I was almost shocked because I appreciated this man so very, very much. And that is Dr. James Kennedy, that Coleridge Presbyterian Church down in Florida. And I'd listened to him, and a lot I enjoyed about him. He made things clear, and I liked that part of it. But he came out with instruction of astrology, that he believed in astrology. Not astronomy, but astrology. It has to do with the stars and the sun and the moon and those things. Now, some of you think that, well, now that's really scientific, because there's Dr. Kennedy. He's gone. He died. I believe he's with the Lord, because he really loved the Lord Jesus, from what I could gather. He may have mistakes, but you don't, and I don't have everything down right either. I think he was wrong in it. Because they have the idea, the day you were born, the position of the stars, position of the planets, the position of the sun, position of the moon, determines what kind of guy you're going to be. Where's the scientific aspect of that? But horoscope it's a big deal. And it's a big business. And so if it's big business, people are interested, because those who write these things that they proclaim is going to happen, they're making big dollars and wealthy, wealthy people. And then we had a president and his wife that they paid attention to astrologers. Do I need to give the name? I'd prefer not to, because I had married him too. But his wife was formerly a Robbins, and I'm embarrassed. But she promoted astrology. They're a pretty big people. And the Bible says, command you and I to refuse profane myths, mythologies. Well, it says, read the Word of God, the word of faith is what the Bible's really saying. And I don't want to say much more about it, but verse 7, the first commandment, in the radio, they proclaim profane myths, and if you're not careful, you'll be seeing it must be right. I think that one of the things about movies, even so-called pretty good movies, is that people talk to the dead at the grave. That's profane. The radio is the same thing, the junk that's on there. Had a man says, I wouldn't have an internet. I wouldn't have a commuter or computer. Oh, you have a radio? Yep. And have TV? Yep. But I don't want to have a computer. Internet. Well, I said, when I was a young man, they would say the radio wasn't a good thing to have. And then they said the TV is not a good thing to have. I'll tell you what's not good about them is this verse 7, profane and irreligious, ungodly mythologies that come up in these. And by the way, in a media-driven age, you might be snuck into those things. And you think that you have the answer, when really it doesn't coincide with the Word of God. All right, Timothy, you're a young preacher. That's fine. Let's go on to the second commandment of verse 7. That is, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Exercise. Well, if you're talking to a young man, and that word there, exercise, in the Greek we get the word gymnasium, that word exercise. So that's nice to know, isn't it? That word in the Greek is gymnasium, so to speak. And what is a gymnasium? Well, they would go there. The Greeks were like we are, big on the physical things. Here's a young preacher. He's probably, I would guess, maybe 30 years of age. And he certainly would be interested in the physique and keep himself in good shape, like some of us older fellows even. But it is a matter here of now we're in the second commandment has to do with spiritual exercise or training, as one would do, use the theme of athletes. They have training, you know. They say, I know all this. Yeah, but the Word of God says you need to listen to it because in our society, there's, I think we have, there's an overflow of emphasis bodily. So you better just listen anyway because you, if you think you have all the answers, I just want to warn you again, don't get the idea you have all the answers because verse 7 says that we need to be command exercise yourself rather onto godliness. What's the word godliness? Well, it has to do with God and being right with God and being like God, but more specifically be Christ-like. That's what the word godliness means. It has to do with our inner person, not with the outer person. Well, that which is in comes out. Yes, it does. It shows our character and our virtues. All right, it's now exercise those things. That's what you need to be concerned about, young man. And older men, young ladies and older ladies, command of God. The church at Ephesus needed godliness. The church at Hall Station, Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, needs godliness. We need to keep training. The tenses continue to be training, to be trained. You say, well, I reached the plateau. Sorry, but I've had church officers that said to, hey, I used to be this and I used to be that, and I don't do any of that anymore. Well, okay. Got a command for you, though. Verse 7, that you're to exercise yourself no matter what age you're and where you've been and what you've done. You and I have supposed to be. Give ourselves unto godliness, no matter what our age is and where we've been. Really? Yes. The need for godliness, having a pure mind and an overflow of the inward person of us. That is, we know Jesus Christ. Do we have a job to do? Now, it's taken from the athletes. And you hear that all the time on the news if you're half awake. To exercise. As some of these athletes, they really are self-sacrificing. I'm telling you. That cage fighting thing. Man, do those guys have to really get their bodies really tough and tight and to be knocked around like they are? And they box, so some of us wouldn't even stand one little punch. But they're trained. Now, what are you trying to tell us, God? He said, as athletes are trained and they have to keep at, we need to keep at spiritual exercising. Well, Lord, I don't want to have a gymnasium. You certainly do. By the way, that word gymnasium comes from an idea of nakedness. Now, this isn't being sensuous. I'm just telling you. They didn't want any impediments. They put on the bare minimum. So they would go out there and do a job to run and wrestle and so forth. And the Greeks, they didn't want any impediments. And so it's very easy spiritually to have impediments. I don't have time. I am a busy man. My schedule. I got to get this done. You got an impediment. It's impeding your progress, and you need to learn what spiritual exercises this command is all about, and so do I, because we can let some things slip. Oh, but we certainly can understand verse 8, man all day, about bodily exercise. We know a lot about bodily exercise, but it says, oh, wow, profiteth little. Well, come on. This cult of the body and body beautiful. And, oh, man. The matter of we've come to a place where we're almost extremes in our culture. Jumping, bouncing, aerobics. Boy, I got to do all those things. Weightlifting. Hey, gals, they have weightlifting for you now. That's what you've been needing all the time. You girls need to realize you need big biceps. That's what their weightlifting is all about, ladies. You say, come on, you're ridiculous. No, I'm not being ridiculous. That's what actually you're doing. And girls don't need to have big biceps. We're not interested. And so, oh, so what? It isn't too bad. It says it's all right there. It has some profit. Just let it go then, preacher. For it says in verse 8, body exercise profiteth. But there's that one little word there. It says little. Well, it's a big deal with us. Sure it is. Athletes must keep their rules and regulations if they're going to really do a good job. You just eat this, you eat piles of this, steaks and so forth, and you got to be in a certain time, you got to get your sleep. There are regulations. I know they get paid millions, but they have regulations too. And so he says, all right, so I understand all that, but it says, along with keeping rules and regulations, those of us who are not athletes, it seems that we can get taken in with this, what is the body beautiful thing too. To the extent that we're preoccupied with our bodies. We used to make light of some of you ladies. Sorry, ladies. But it used to be some ladies would spend so much time getting ready to go anywhere, long time doing that. You say, well, that isn't it all right to be careful? Yes, it is, clean and all that. But it's amazing how we get taken in culturally. And this is important because it's a command. If your interest is only body beautiful, you're not right. If you don't like the hair God's given to you and you change it, something's wrong with you. If you think that this body, the DNA as the stature of the eye, must keep it constantly, I must be thin Jim or slim Jim. And it's a command to do that. Oh, well, all right. You think so. That's what culture says. But verse says that this exercise body, it profiteth little. Now that word little, it means short-lived. Have you ever seen a fellow that he's been on a diet and he's really slim? Huh? Man, whew, I'm on this diet. You see him maybe half a year later and he's all blowed out. Short-lived. Sure, am I against taking care of the body? No, probably I do too much of myself. But it doesn't look it. But anyway, it's true. We got to understand what the Word of God says. It isn't what the culture is saying. It's not what the media is saying. It's not what the salespeople are saying. What says God? God says body exercise is for a short time. I remember a fellow by the name of Joe Souter. Some of you know Joe. I used to do a lot of substitute teaching for Joe Souter. Good teacher. Good vocational shop man, really good, top man. And one day we were after school, and I was in there for another course or something. He said, see those football players out there? And I said, yeah, they're really going at it. It was hot. He said, really beating on each other. And he says, I want to tell you something. In a few years, those same guys will be sitting before TV with beer in their hands and their knees all busted up and so forth. Does it profit? Yes. Yes, it does. Especially if you're getting paid. I can't say it profits little where those are getting paid. But there is an idea. When I was a child, I spoke as a child and I did as a child. But when I come a grown man, I put away childish things. Some of this is kind of downright culturally childish. God says, well, it's short-lived. That's what that means. Go ahead, spend all your time in it. Jump and bounce and aerobize yourself all you want to. But just remember what the Word of God says. Go to run to the doctor every little time you got a little pain, little something you got to run, and get yourself, your body fixed up. And when you die, you'll have a real precious, valuable corpse for the worms to eat. They'll eat my body as well as they eat yours. Well, do you really have to tell us that? That's what verse 8 is saying. Young man, the culture is like this. There's some value of it. But I want to stress the real value of this passage, verse 7 and 8. What's the real priority of verse 7 and 8? And that is priority, spiritual godliness, spiritual exercise. That's the meaning of the whole passage. Well, maybe we ought to change gears now. You got that preoccupation. And what is this saying? Verse 8, that second part. But godliness is profitable. Oh, now I'll tell you something. That's interesting. My ears ought to go up for that. Profitable unto all things. Having promise of the life that now is, right now? Yes. And what about it? And that which is to come. What? Spiritual disciplines, spiritual training has its promise of God to be profitable. Yeah. All right. Who's first? Who's going to do 50 push-ups? Don't ask me. God doesn't say that. Where you get that, I don't know where you get that. You don't have it right. He's not asking us to do push-ups and so forth. He is saying here, what we need to do as an athlete has to train. You and I have to train. And it's necessary. We must have a plan. Oh, no, I don't want any more plans. I've got plenty to do. Listen, if you take the Word of God seriously, it's saying this, that godliness, that we're to exercise it, exercise godliness in verse 7, because in verse 8, godliness is profitable unto all things. Godliness, spiritual godliness, are, as the Bible puts it, training. Come on, friends. Do you have time to read the Bible? Come on, friends. Do you have time to pray? Come on now. Do you have time to meditate upon the Word of God? Like a cow chooser could, you think about some of these things, like verse 7 and 8. Think about it. Do you really have a living fellowship with other Christians? I went to churches, and I say this truthfully, went to churches and nobody even said good morning to me. A man said to me this week, he said, well, tell you about church. He said, you know what church is? He said, people go to church, they about an hour, they spend together, they have some singing and they have a preaching and they go home and that's it, it's all over. So that's what I think of church. Well, my dear friend, and he is a friend, he lives away from here. You don't really believe that, do you? That church is just where we go for an hour and have some singing and some preaching, and then we go home. The rest of the week, we do our thing. No, that's not spiritual gymnasium. That's not spiritual discipline. And I know, I can feel guilty too. But I want to know the last part of verse 8. Now then, if it's profitable, let's get into it. What about profitability? Where? Spiritual exercising discipline as far as the matter of godliness. It says, what about the last part, verse 8? Let's see. He says, I promise, having promised, God's promising, of the life that now is. And something about right now, he's promised us something if we practice this, and then also that which is to come. What'd you say, Lord? He's saying, I'm telling you, exercise spiritually unto godliness, and I will bless you. I promise I'll bless you now, right now, now, in the way you are now, and also that which is to come. I'm interested. Yeah. It's not just in the sweet by and by. He said, I make a promise to you. If you do this, it's so profitable. I promise of the life that it now is. Wow. I look around culturally and I say, well, Lord, I can see a life as it is. I can see people, their big idea is pleasure. They live for the weekends. They aren't in church. They go away. They go to their, have their down by the riverside, so to speak, have their little trailers and so forth, and they're out doing a thing today on Sunday. Now even we're having sales now. You've been to the sales? Now you can go to sales on Sunday. Yep. Yes, sir. The pleasures are a thing. I was talking to a man, he said, before God saved me, he said, I was as sensuous as could be. I just live from a lust and passion. Wow. That's typical of our culture. Just listen to the media. They're getting so brash that if I say something to the pulpit, I almost get embarrassed. But they just throw it all out. Young folk, they don't know anything about the Lord. I was almost shocked. I saw a man at last Sunday, and he said, I have a PhD, but it doesn't mean what it, educationally. He was bragging about the size of his appendage. You tell you, it's so brash. Live for pleasure. That's culture. We're talking about, preacher. What joy is there in Christianity? He said, God says, I promise you that if you take the inner man, you're a Christian, and you take that which I've given to you, that the new birth, that life I put in you, the Spirit of God, he said, I'm telling you, I promise you that there'll be blessings for you now and to come. Can God lie? Well, don't sit there and act like that this is something way out of range. God says that he means it. This is God's word. This is not mythology. This is not the preacher's word. I'm only being a servant and giving forth what he says, the best I know how. And then, isn't it wonderful? Our big thing as Americans is materialism. Oh, now I heard this, preacher, and the money. Oh, the money. And make all you can. That's where life does not consist in abundance of things that man possesses. What'd you say, Lord? Life does not consist in abundance of things that a man possesses. Pardon me? That's not the way I've been taught. I've been taught differently. I'm telling you, God says, life does not consist in abundance of things that man possesses. I ask you a question. I know what I'm talking about because I've read wills already. I won't do it. I won't read your will. You got a lawyer, you're paid for him, get him there at their funeral. I'm not going to read any more wills at funerals. Well, so what? This is the thing. They'll fight. Oh, not my kids. They'll argue. Mom said, this is mine. Dad said, I could have this. Say, well, he's trying to take everything. They'll fight, carry on. No, no, they won't. Yes, they will. And so you make all this big stuff, big job, wonderful stuff, lay it aside, and you die. And they fight about it. Or argue about it. And maybe not fight, argue about it. Some get to the place they don't even talk to each other. What is it? It says, I promise you that if you will practice spiritual exercise, godliness, I'll give you, I'll promise you something for now. Okay, I want to know about now. Well, preacher's talking about where we are. Some people just live to be praised. The more they do to be praised, the more they like it. I live for my praises. You know what? You can be so concerned about the dollar and materialism, that you can kill yourselves. No, not this generation. Yeah. I know a preacher, I believe, really did hurt himself. He really did hurt himself. You can work at your job so you get high blood pressure. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. And that means kill yourself. Some of us haven't learned what it means, thou shalt not kill. But if we get in this generation, we go at it, you know, oh, go roaring at it, get it all, I want it all, and kill yourself. And God's going to say, hey, didn't I tell you, thou shalt not kill? You can overvalue this life. I'm talking about now. You can overvalue this life now. It's so much to me. I'll give anything for my life. I'll do anything for my life. I just heard a person sold their soul on eBay. What did you say? A man sold, or was it a woman? I don't know which it was. A person sold their soul on eBay, and somebody bought their soul. Now, is it serious or isn't it? Where are you in this whole pattern? Yes. What's the Christian perspective on verse 8 and last part? What's the Christian perspective? I have enough of the world. I don't want to hear any more about that. What's the Christian perspective, spiritually speaking? Well, we get a foretaste of heaven divine, and this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And I do know this, that if you're not caught up with the culture and the way things are going, and you're a Christian and you're conscientious, people are going to say, I don't understand. I don't know how they even do it. They don't understand it. But God takes care of us spiritually, soulish, I'm talking about mentally, intellectually, and physically. Yes, you say, I promise you. God, you're promising me what? That if I practice spiritually like I should, I'm going to take care of you now, N-O-W. I'm going to help you. You don't need to worry about it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things be added on to you. Come on. You don't mean that, Lord. Yes, I do. I mean that. Well, it's not the way I've been taught. He said, I want to tell you something. My smile will be upon you. Boy, to think that the Lord smiles upon him, his countenance upon us. Well, don't you want the Lord smile upon your loved one, friend? Won't you take this passage with me a little more seriously than we do? Won't we forsake this old world? You know what? I'm in the 21st century. Guess what? I'm going to die. When? In this 21st century. Guess what? So are you. Oh, but I can live to be 100. Yeah, maybe you can, but that's still pretty close to dying anyway if you did live to be 100. You know where I'm headed? I'm headed for the grave. Oh, come on. Yes. Well, that's not a very pleasant thing to talk about. Why isn't it? Why isn't it a pleasant thing? You know, for me to die is gain. No, you don't believe that. I promise you now that I'll give you that kind of a spirit. If you practice spiritual exercising, I'll have you. And you know what it is to walk with me. My smile be upon you. And you have no fear of death. No, Lord, you can't mean that. He said, I do mean. I promise of the life that now is. Well, he said, I give you my affection and my favor. To have the favor of God. Listen, you say, well, if I had the favor of God, I won't ever be sick. Where'd you get that? Where'd you get that? Hey, if I have a mental problem, and no Christian should have a mental problem. Where'd you get that? Well, if a Christian's having a hard time financially, wow, if he's a child of God, he shouldn't have any problem financially. Or if a Christian having a little problem physically, well, if he's a child of God, he shouldn't have any problem physically. Where do you get your education? That's not what the Bible teaches. He said he'd be with us. And there'll be times of sorrow. There'll be times of gladness. Ecclesiastes. But he said, I'll be with you. And so, friend, do I see this? I can see looking up, and I don't have good health. Lord, you promised that if I practice spiritual exercise under godliness, that you promised to be with me and help me now, N-O-W. He said, I will. I'll be right there by your bed. and I'll give you peace that passes understanding. Peace with me and peace of God. Wonderful. I'll see you through. And when you come to the river, you step in, and it'll all be pleasant. Do you mean that? He said, I mean that. Well, what about the last part of verse 8? What does that have to do with anything? He said, I promise you this also, that of that which is to come. That which is to come. And that is glory. Oh, aren't we a hard bunch? We don't want to accept this kind of stuff. No, we don't want to talk about being saved. We want to enjoy our sins. I don't want to hear any more about this. I want to do what I've been doing. I don't want to hear about exercising spiritually unto godliness and spending time, finding time in my busy schedule, making all I can make of prayer and praying and scripture reading and spending time with God's people. You know, go ahead. He didn't promise you that he's going to be with you now. He doesn't promise he's going to be with you hereafter either, even if you made your little ditty salvation prayer. No promise for those who do not know Christ. The last part of verse 8. You can go to church, last part of verse 8, act religious, but if you don't know what it is to be saved and you don't know the Lord Jesus, forget about what is to come, because you don't want to know what's to come. I spent a number of years in a death ward, and that's true. And I've seen people die. I've seen people cry out. I have it in my mind. My pictures are there. Crying out how it's dark. Cussing God. Listen, friend. You may think you're a person, a nice person, and you're doing very well. And you've made the money. And you're just going to continue to do what you're, and you're going to be body beautiful. You're going to spend all your time on the body. The body, it's spirit, soul, and body. What's priority? Priority is godliness. Godliness is your spirit. The thing spiritually, that's number one priority, not your body. The preachers will preach and say, now, friend, don't forget, we're body, soul, and spirit. Preacher, you don't even have it right. The Bible says spirit, soul, and body. So, well, what's the difference? It makes a big difference. Priority. And yet, we go on in our days. Yeah, I heard that. I don't know for sure where I'm going to heaven or not. I've gone to church and I've given some money to church and I've done some nice things. But if you don't have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, you don't have peace that passes understanding, dear friends, you better do some spiritual exercising. And you get down and you tell God, God, I am a sinner. I need to be saved. And I'm down in my heart. I'm wicked in thought, word, and deed. I need to be saved. And I believe Jesus Christ did all the work at Calvary. Have you ever done that? Have you ever confessed your sins? Repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't give me this idea of it been saved forever. That you don't really know. Unless you have turned from sin to your sins and trust Jesus Christ. I had to get down by my bed and settle that one time. Maybe you need to get down by your bed and settle and see whether you really have confessed your sin and know where you are. As a worldling, as an ungodly, following this culture and not exercising spiritually or towards godliness. Brethren, we need to pray for one another. We need the Lord Jesus. And our Father, as you've said in your word, that the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. May it be a reality in each of our lives and our loved ones, family, friends, neighbors. Now, Father, take the word this morning. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be obedient. Help us to receive it. It is the words of faith, living words. And our Father, we pray, not only for ourselves, but we'd also pray for concern for Brother James Thomas and his need, as he's not well today. We pray that you would look upon him and help him meet his needs. And now the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace through Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.